Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
This Lent, I would ask you to listen to the sounds of this season, the clatter of the coins, the trumpet blast, the hammering of the nails, the cry of victory. And today we're listening to that sound of silver coin hitting stone. Can you hear that ringing noise? The first reading comes from Matthew 26. Then one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray Jesus into your hand?" And they weighed out for him 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. And from that moment, he began to look for a moment to betray Jesus. And then a chapter later, when morning came, the chief priests and the elders of the nation all met together to plan the death of Jesus. They bound him and led him away to hand him over to Pilate, the Roman governor. And when Judas the traitor saw that Jesus had been condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. "I have sinned," he said. "I have brought an innocent man to his death." And they said, "What's that to us? That's your business." So he threw down the money in the temple and left. He went away and hanged himself. The chief priests took up the money, but they said, "This cannot be put in the temple fund because it's blood money." So after conferring, they used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. This explains the name Blood Acre, by which the field has been known ever since. And in this way, fulfillment was given to the saying of the prophet Jeremiah. They took 30 pieces of silver, the price set on a man's head, for that was the price among the Israelites, and gave the money for a potter's field, as the Lord directed me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. The clatter of the coins, 30 pieces of silver. Silver striking rock, silver just ringing and spreading across the stone floor of the temple. This was the money that had been given to Judas to betray Jesus. It was the price the authorities had paid. And it was a good investment for those authorities. They've been trying to get their hands on Jesus for some time now, but he was very popular with the crowds, and they were afraid that if they seized him in daylight, there would be demonstrations against them. And so Judas was a very good investment. He was an informer inside Jesus' camp, someone who could keep them up to date on what Jesus was doing and where he was about. It was a very good investment. And so after they had the Passover in that room that upper room in Jerusalem, they sang a hymn, they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And here Judas places his hands on Jesus' shoulders and kisses him on the cheek. This was a very intimate greeting, a greeting of a student to a teacher. And in so doing, he marks Jesus for the temple police. It's interesting. They don't really know who Jesus is or what he looks like. It's Judas that marks him out by that kiss. And Jesus is taken away. There's a very quick trial where he's sentenced to death. And it's at this point, this man Judas is struck by what he has done. He's, you know, Jesus is sentenced to death. It's out of his hands. It's even out of the priest's hands now. Things are in motion. And shaking, hands trembling. He goes back to those priests with that leather bag with the 30 pieces of silver in it, that price of betrayal. And he wants to give it back. He says, I have sinned. I've betrayed an innocent man. And the authorities say, hey, that's not our problem, that's yours. And they do not take his money back. So at this point, he takes that leather purse and just throws it on the ground. And the coins, the silver, go spinning out across the floor. Nobody likes a traitor, not even these authorities. Coins, the clatter of the coins. Can you hear that? The ring of silver. Those coins just scattering across the floor, rolling across the floor. Who was this man, Judas? He was one of the 12, one of the disciples, and like everyone else, he had been called apart from his daily work to follow Jesus. And he was just like the others, with one exception, in that the others all came from northern Israel. They came from Galilee. He was the southerner. He came from the south of the country. But there's no question, they had great faith and trust in him. They made him the treasurer of the group. And he was with Jesus through those 3 years of ministry, just like the others. He had seen Jesus heal and teach. He had seen Jesus, you know, reach out to the friendless, to feed the hungry. He'd been a part of that. He'd been out on preaching expeditions. How could a person so close to Jesus turn into a betrayer? I just don't get it. I've been overseas. I've been through revolutions. I've known people betray a neighbor into the hands of the secret police just to get money to feed their starving kids. I've known people who've had the authorities, the paramilitaries come 3 o'clock in the morning and take the person away, never to be seen again. And I've known people betray an enemy on purpose into the hands of the authorities. And I can sort of understand some of that. If you're desperate, if you don't have a penny to your name. But I can't understand Judas. and how he could betray Jesus, the one they all loved. I don't get it. And yet, I know it happens. You have Brutus betraying Caesar. You have Macbeth betraying the king he loves. Anyone in high school will tell you about friends who've turned their backs. Same in work. I know it happens, but Judas, why? The clatter of the coins, that sound of silver hitting stone, of coins rolling across the surface. The Bible doesn't say that much about Judas's motivation. You have brief mentions here and there. One is in the Gospel of John that this man had his hand in the till. And you know there's that scene where the woman takes very expensive ointment to anoint Jesus' feet, and Judas says that, hey, this money could have been spent on the poor. But the author notes that he wasn't really interested in the poor. He wanted to get his hands on that money himself. Did he betray Jesus for the money? Was it greed? Mahatma Gandhi, several generations ago, once said to his Indian friends, if you want to understand Westerners, remember that despite what they say in creed or church, the God they really worship is money. What do you think? I'm not sure I go all the way there, but there could be something. That's the simplest explanation. He was after the money just for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. People have betrayed others for less. There's another explanation that is sort of inferred from the Bible. It's not directly there. And it's been around at least since I've been in the ministry. And that's the political explanation for Judas's action. And that is that Judas was a nationalist. He was one who was looking for the violent overthrow of Roman rule in Israel. And some scholars say that last name Iscariot really is derived from Sakari, dagger man, assassin. That this man was very sympathetic with the movement to overthrow the Roman occupation of Israel by violence. And he thought Jesus was the same way. The common belief at the time was this is just what the Messiah would do. Defeat the Romans, make Israel the top dog. But Jesus didn't do that. And it's argued that what Judas was doing was trying to set up a crisis situation where Jesus would have to act, where he would have to draw the sword and lead the revolution at last. Those are the explanations, and I suspect that, you know, this man's act is really a mystery. The clatter of the coins, that ringing sound as metal strikes stone and passes over it. think it's hard really to think about what this man might say to our lives. He seems so distant in a way. You know, Peter, with his bragging about the faith, Peter with his bungling, I can sort of identify with that. Thomas with his doubt, I can sort of identify with that. Andrew, the common man and the common woman's disciple, oh, okay, I can see something there. But Judas, what might this life have to say to us, to me and to you? And I think if we were to say that the political explanation of his actions has merit, if we were to say that, it seems to me that Judas represents something that I often find myself falling into. And that is, Judas assumed that because he was a revolutionary, that Jesus was one too. He assumed because he thought one way, Jesus also thought the same way. And I think there's a temptation for us all, for me especially, to fall into that. If I'm a conservative, I assume Jesus was one too. If I'm a liberal, I assume Jesus was liberal on a lot of issues. I sort of identify Jesus with my group, my outlook, instead of holding my ideas up to the judgment of his love. Can you see that in yourself? I can see it in me. You know, we're supposed to follow Jesus, but there's a big temptation to make Jesus follow us, isn't there? And what we think. The clatter of the coins, that ringing sound of silver coin on stone floor. Judas, do you think he could ever have been forgiven for what he did? Any feelings that way? He goes out into the morning crushed. And I can't help but think, you know, back just a few years ago in Charlotte, remember the AME church where those shootings took place, 9 people killed? And I forget the guy's name behind that horrible situation. Was it Roof or Andrew Roof or something like that? Dylan Roof. And what sat me back was the attitude of the people and how those families were ready to forgive such a horrendous act where 9 innocent people just gunned down. There was one woman, I think Nadine was her name, Collier, who said of her mother, who she lost, she said, "I'll never be able to hold her again, but I forgive you." And when I think of Judas and his act and the mystery of that act, what I do is I think of Jesus on the cross, looking over to Gehenna, where Judas was going. And remember his words, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And I think those words may go out far, far further than we would ever imagine. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. The clatter of the coins, that sound of silver coins just hitting the ground and spreading all over the place. Can you hear that sound in your own life today? If I'm honest, I think I can hear it here.